Well, good afternoon, everyone. Certainly turned out to be a beautiful day. I know originally it was cloudy and overcast, and I thought maybe it might even rain. And of course, I always am a little disappointed when it rains on the holy days, because it just seems like it puts a damper on it. But it's a beautiful day now, so we can really rejoice. God has a seven-part plan for mankind. And already we have observed four of the seven parts that he has for mankind. And today we're observing the fifth part of God's plan for mankind. It's an exciting time. It's a time that makes us to realize what God is doing for mankind. It's also a sobering time, a time to think about what this world has done, what the influences on this world has done, and how it has affected us individually as well as a nation and the world. So it is a time of rejoicing, brethren. It is a high day. It is a congregational meeting day that we would come. But it's not like your typical day that we come and rejoice and feast. Instead of feasting, we're fasting. It's a different terminology. And I find it interesting, we're participating in a different way. We're fasting. And the fast, we go without food and water. And so it helps us to think about that while we're keeping this day and we're fasting and observing this Day of Atonement. And think about some of the things that associate with this day. I want to talk about captivity for a moment. Captivity. It's an interesting subject. I found some information on it, and I'm going to present it to you and show you how Satan has taken captive the world. And he has put us in captivity. And we are free because we have God's Spirit and we've been given God's true way of life. And we've been freed of that. But the world hasn't. The world is still in captivity. And it's been kept captivity for thousands of years. It's hard to believe. Generations have been in captivity. Now, kidnapping, hostility, hostage situations... grab our attentions every day. We hear stories about, and just recently we heard about some individuals that were held captive because of a crime that has been committed. And sometimes we think about how horrible to be put in a situation to be kept captive and restricted and not given freedoms and to be held under a condition like that. But they also intrigue us sometimes, and we are puzzled how these individuals find themselves. I'm going to give you a few examples. First one is J.C. Lee Dungard, who in 1991 was snatched at a bus stop at the age of 11. Now, she was only 11 years old when she was taken captive. And she was kept captive for the next 18 years of her life. That's amazing. 18 years of her life she was held in captivity. Apparently, she didn't try to escape, and over time, she developed a close relationship with her captive. Isn't that interesting? She developed a close relationship with her captive. And over time, that relationship grew closer and closer. She was asked about her kidnapper, and her father said that she had strong feelings for the guy. It's amazing. After she was set free, she still had strong feelings for her captive. And then when she found out, now this was in 1991. Now a second individual who was held captive is Natasha Kampuz. I'm not sure how she pronounces it properly. Natasha Kampuz. She was kidnapped at the age of 10 while riding her bike to school. She was held captive for 8 years by her captive. For 8 years she was held captive. And when she was released, she cried for her captive because he was killed. He committed suicide. She cried for him. She considered him a poor soul, lost and misguided. And so she had pity and compassion for this individual who took her captive at the age of 10. A third individual, Sean Hornbeck, after 10 months of captivity at the hands of kidnappers, called the police to report that his bike was stolen. And when they asked him for his name, he said, "I'm Sean." And they asked for his last name. He took the captive's last name. Interesting. He took the captive, individual captive, and took his last name. He stayed with the captive for another 3 years after he was able to be released. He stayed with him another 3 years and never even tried to escape. Even when his captive went to work and took on two jobs and he was able to get away if he wanted to, he never chose to. I think one of the most famous cases of captivity was Patty Hearst. You remember Patty Hearst? I know it, I remember it growing up in my years. Patty Hearst was a daughter of the Randolph Hearst, who was a publishing magnate. He was a huge in publication. But she was abducted by the Siberian Liberation Army. Okay, that's a tough one to say. Siberian Liberation Army. The crime leaders actually kept her captive for a period of time, and she actually was converted into their way of robbing banks. And she was a participant. Now, we don't know the full details there. Perhaps she was threatened. If she didn't do it, she would be killed. We don't know all the circumstances. But she participated in joining the group and robbing a bank. All these hostages are identified by a specific classification, that they had their opportunities for freedom, and they chose not, many of them. They chose to stay with their captive. Mental health experts classify this as the Stockholm Syndrome. Find that interesting. Stockholm Syndrome. Now, how did they come up with that? In 1973, the Stockholm name got its name from a robbery at Stockholm, Sweden, in which two thieves entered the bank, held four individual employees captive for 6 days. They were locked up in the vault for 6 days. So they were held captive. When the victims were released, again, this terminology is called the Stockholm Syndrome. But when the victims were released, their reaction was shocking to the world, because they interviewed them and they said they hugged each other and kissed each other, the captives and everyone, and declared their loyalty to the kidnappers. Declared their loyalty to the kidnappers. I find that very, very interesting. When they were carried off the jail, psychiatrists are baffled. They can't understand. Why would you want to encourage and be participating and be involved with these captive individuals to their captive? They still haven't figured it out. Well, brethren, that's exactly what this world is. This world's been captive by Satan. He has taken it, and he has deceived the world into thinking what he has done is right, and the ways of the world are right. We value the world views. Each and every one of us has different views of what this world's all about. Some view it in a positive way and saying it's a wonderful world, and some view it in a negative way. It's a terrible world. Well, brethren, it's a combination of both. There's a lot of wonderful blessings that this world has to offer, but there's also some terrible things that have happened in this world. This world has been viewed, it has been shaped ever since the beginning of creation. I find that very, very interesting. It all falls back to the very beginning of creation. So let's go back to Genesis. And we'll look at Genesis chapter 1. And verse 26. Genesis 1 and verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the creeping things of the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he both male and female. He created them. So this is the beginning. God created man. And in the process, along comes Satan, who has rebelled, which I'll talk about that a little bit later. But he comes along and he deceives Eve. And that starts the process. Satan, who is the prince of the air and he's the ruler of darkness, he deceived Eve, as you can read further into the Genesis. God created, what he created of man was very good. And they were separated, and they had God's understanding, they had God's knowledge. But Satan came along and tempted Adam as well as Eve and caused them to sin. Now it's interesting because Adam and Eve could have said no. They could have refused Satan and he would have resisted Satan and he would have fled, as the Bible tells us to do. Resist the devil and he'll flee. But apparently Eve and Adam were both intrigued by the things that Satan or the serpent said. And that's just like this world. This world, when it's deceived, it's intrigued by the things that are going on in the world. It finds pleasure in a lot of the things. And of course, Lucifer or Satan is the great deceiver. And he deceived Eve into convincing her to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And from that point on, we as a world has experienced the horrible conditions that this world is facing because of the influence that has taken place upon mankind from the very, very beginning. This is precisely what Satan wanted. And that's why he got to Adam and Eve. He played on their emotions. He played on their judgments. And he got them to thinking he was right, not God. Satan was getting Adam and Eve to think that he was right. God didn't know what he was talking about. And so he convinced them. And we suffer the consequence of that from this day, from that decision that was made. Because Adam and Eve had access to God and God's way. But once they turned and was convicted by Satan's explanation and accepted and sinned, sin cuts us off from God. And so they lost contact with God. And what happens to mankind from ever since? And ever since, mankind has been influenced by Satan throughout this world. We find that he is convincing them to do horrible conditions. War is mass murder. I don't care how much individuals want to try to play down war. War is mass murder. And war is stirred by Satan. Nation against nation shall rise against nation. And that's all by Satan. The works of Satan in other ways include a religious defeat and causing individuals to be misled religiously. Convincing people of great lies. And of course we know doctrinal lies that are misunderstood. Satan is the author of that. He'll take truth and twist it. And one of the things is in relationship with Jesus Christ. Lucifer will take a false Jesus Christ and get people worshiping a false Christ. And so you can see again how the influence. People think they are worshiping the true God, and they find they're worshiping, later on they'll find out they're worshiping the wrong God. And so Satan, again, he influences mankind in so many ways. He affects them in ways that people think they're doing what's right, and they think they're pleasing God. And they find out later that they're not. It's a tragedy what Satan has done. But you know, before the world was created, Adam and Eve, there was an event that took place, and we read about that over in Isaiah. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 14, and let's look at verse 13. Now, I'm breaking into the thought here. Actually, we can go to verse 12. It says, "How art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How have you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" And that's what he has done. When he came down to the earth, he weakened our nations. "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." So Lucifer at this time, before Adam and Eve, before he convinced Adam and Eve to sin, he sinned himself. So he started the process himself by thinking that he was greater than God and that he could rise above God and overthrow and rebel. Well, there's been rebellion going on ever since, that rebellion from the very beginning. Jesus said that he witnessed long before humans the result of Satan's rebellion. He said he actually saw Satan fall like lightning from the heavens. God cast Satan back down to the earth, and from that point on, Satan has influenced society, starting with Adam and Eve, as we talked about earlier. The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. He's also the prince of the power of the air. You can read about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. He's also deceives the whole world in Revelation 12. Let's turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and verse 9, it says, "The great dragon was cast out," and we read about that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. That's his technique. His technique is deceive and lie. And that's very effective in our society when you think about that. Deceiving and lying. It says, "He's cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him, those who rebelled with him." So you can see, from that point on, Satan uses clever devices of deceitfulness and lying. Brethren, our government lies to us. We lie to the government as a nation. People lie and cheat on taxes. People lie to each other. Companies will lie against their employees. Employees will lie against their employers. We just see the corruption and the influence of Satan in so many ways, the deceitful workings of Satan in our society. And that affects us as a world conditions gets worse and worse. It says the whole world lies under the sway of wicked one. We understand that. The wicked one is the one that causes all the deceitfulness and all this lying. And we read in the very beginning, Adam and Eve was deceived as well. And unfortunately, they believed the lie. And from that point on, we suffer the consequence. Living under Satan's rule has brought mankind heartache, suffering of tremendous categories. Jesus pointed out that Satan's deceitful ways were evident by the way he attacks and the way he deceives. You can read about John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8. Verse 44. "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He's emphasizing here to the Pharisees. "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." So you see, his main deception is lying and deceitfulness, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So that's where lying began. That's where deceitfulness and lying began. It all falls on the shoulders of Lucifer, which became Satan then. Now, living under that influence, Satan is a murderer. He creates individuals in the minds of men to murder. He influences the minds of men. And that's why we see murder and crimes, horrible conditions on this earth. And we can just be horrified every time we read a newspaper of conditions that takes place in this world. There's so many events that take place, and I'm convinced that it's the mind of Satan in the man's mind. He influences men to do evil. Murder, manslaughtering, beatings, rapes. You can go down the list of all the horrible things that take place from man against man, man against women, women against women, men against animals, cruelty, in so many ways that this world is affected by Satan's influence. Well, it's not always going to be like this. This world is held captive, and it will continue to be held captive until the return of Jesus Christ, which we kept at the Feast of Trumpets. That is our time, brethren. That is when we will be changed spiritually. And so we won't have the influence when we're spirit beings that this world has. And that's why part of God's plan is to bound Satan, the instigator, the ruler of this world, the evil that places upon mankind. He has to be bound. If God did not bind Satan, man would continue to be influenced by the evil ways and conditions that Satan influences the world. So this day has to be fulfilled. This day has to be fulfilled through the binding and bounding of Satan into the bottomless pit. And we read about that over in Revelation. I'm going to refer to that a little later. But why do people lie? I want to ask ask that question. Why do people lie, deceive each other, and misrepresent? There's many reasons and many motives why people lie. One of the obvious is to make themselves look better. And a lot of people want to feel good about themselves, and so they'll lie, they'll deceive, they'll make up stories and do things to make them appear better than they really actually are. But I'm convinced that it's because Satan influences their mind. He tempts them with whatever situation he finds that they're weak in, and he will attack those situations. He doesn't attack us from our strengths. Satan is very clever. He attacks us from our weak areas where we're very, very weak. And so he'll use that against us. And vanity is one of the greatest weaknesses that mankind has. Vanity will destroy many a man and woman if they're allowed to. Much of society is influenced by untruths. It's hard to believe, but much of society has been accepting untruths. We read false things in the paper all the time. It's amazing. They'll print things in the paper, and then later on they'll retract it. But you may find the retraction on the back page of the newspaper, whereas it may have been on the front page originally, and false, lying, deceitful information. So it's hard to know what is right and what is wrong. Well, our way of knowing what is right and wrong is through the Word of God. That teaches us and shows us the right way to live. And we will not be influenced by Satan and the deceitfulness and the lying and the deceitfulness if we are close to God. Now, I find it interesting. Fasting on the Day of Atonement humbles us. It keeps us close to God. It makes us realize that if we did not have God in our lives, we would die very quickly. He gives us the very breath we breathe. He gives us the food that we eat, the water that we drink, the beverages. And if we didn't have them, we would not last very long. God provides for all our needs. And by fasting, it makes us realize we are very frail. Unless God intervenes in our lives and provides for our physical needs, as well as our spiritual needs too, most important, we would die very quickly. And so fasting on the Day of Atonement actually helps us to participate in this day. Brethren, it's not a time of rejoicing to see that Satan, who has been the author of this world, will no longer be influencing on mankind, as a time of rejoicing and saying, Yahoo! But rather, it's a time of realizing mankind needs this day. They truly need this day. They need it because without the intervention of the angel to taking hold of Satan the devil, this day would not be fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled, this world is still held captive. And it will continue to be held captive. And it will continue to follow the ways of this world. And the lying and the deceitfulness will continue until it is fulfilled. Now our part will be in the kingdom of God. And we're looking forward to that. That's the next holy day that's coming up. Participating in the millennium time. We'll be leaders and teachers and instructors in the millennium. But when Christ returns and we are changed spiritually, Satan is still on the earth. Okay, he's still abounding. So it doesn't happen instantly. But when he is bound, this day is for all of mankind. For all of mankind. That they will no longer be influenced by Satan. And that's why he has to be bound. The scriptures depict that the permanent bounding in a close situation will make Satan realize what he had done. Satan doesn't fully acknowledge all his evil sins that he has done. And that his vanity has caused him to rise up against God. And he has lost his opportunity to be in the kingdom of God, which is a tragedy. This day also pictures a tragedy to Satan. But it's not a tragedy for mankind. It's a time that we can be glad that his influence will no longer affect this world. It will no longer show what the lying, the deceitfulness that will take place. The Day of Atonement is entirely different than any of the other holy days we keep because it affects the entire world. The earlier holy days that we kept affected us personally. The Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and the Feast of Trumpets. Those holy days affected us personally. This day starts the process of affecting the entire world. and how it affects them. There's no other day in observance. You can read about it in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Of course, we know that probably by heart. We'll look at verse 27. Now it's breaking into the thought because it's listing all the holy days here. This one is specifically referring to the Day of Atonement. It says in verse 27, "Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, you shall be a Day of Atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering by fire unto the Lord. You shall do no servile work on that day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God." So God is bringing back his people and all those who have turned away from him and has been influenced by Satan. Verse 29, "For whoever soul it shall be shall not afflict in that same day. He shall be cut off from among his people." Brethren, this is a serious situation to think about. He says, if we don't fast on this day, we will be cut off. We will not be his people. We'll be cut off from among his people. And so it's very important that we do fast on this day. And fasting helps us draw close to God. It keeps us humble. And it makes us realize that we need God. He didn't need us. God created us, but he didn't have to. That's one of the great blessings that we have, knowing that out of God's love for a family and expanding and developing, he created us. Unfortunately, because of Satan, he's turned mankind away from God. And so from that point, we need the Day of Atonement to be fulfilled. Satan has to be bound. He has to be put in the bottomless pit, and along with the angels. Now, you can look at Revelation, and this is where Satan is actually bound, over in Revelation. Because of time, I'm going to move on. I know Tom has the split sermon, so I don't want to take too much time from Tom, but we know about over in Revelation 20 that Satan is bound and put in the bottomless pit. And that opens the door for mankind to be restored back to God. And that sets up the place for the next holy day, the Feast of Tabernacles, when all of the world will have an opportunity to enjoy the blessings. Now Satan, who is the ruler of this world, will be bound, and he will no longer influence this world. And mankind will have full access to God again, which is what the Feast of Tabernacles pictures. And so, brethren, with the binding of Satan, first the return of Jesus Christ, which we'll participate with in changing and becoming spirit beings, the binding of Satan, mankind will no longer be influenced by the evil devil who has influenced this world and has destroyed this world in its attitudes and its way it handles misguiding of conditions. We're on the brink of self-destruction. I'm convinced Satan influences the minds of men to make mass weapons of destruction. And we have the capability of destroying the entire earth. That's under the influence of Satan again. But he will not have that ability when he's bound. He'll be bound in the bottomless pit and separated from mankind. And mankind will have the wonderful opportunity of rejoicing and keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Now we realize there'll be some rebellious period of time in the transition from the time that Satan is bound till the time that Christ returns, sets up the government, and the kingdom of God is fully established. The millennium is just a part of the kingdom of God. It's not the full fulfillment of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God lasts forever. The millennium only lasts 1,000 years. And so that ends. And that's why it's very important that people don't get hung up thinking that the millennium is only the kingdom of God. It's part of the kingdom of God. And it is a great time that we're all looking forward to and participating in. But the kingdom of God will exist forever. So it goes beyond 1,000 years. And unfortunately, there is a time when Satan will be released again. Now that's at a later date in the plan of God. I'm not going to talk about that. I just want to bring that subject up a little bit so we're aware that Satan is not bound forever in the bottomless pit. He will be released again, and then his fate will be determined. And we'll read about that on future holy days, what will happen to Satan. But brethren, for over almost 3,000 years, it's interesting, about 3,000 years ago, through the prophet Isaiah, and you can turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. We'll look at verse 14. This is conditions that tells us how it's going to be looking backwards, but it's also looking forward in this respect. It says, "And the judgment is turned away backwards, and the justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter." That's the times we're living in right now, brethren. And that's why this day is very important for us as well. Even though when we are spiritual beings, and we'll be keeping, in a spiritual sense, a physical body, we have to still live in this present world. This present world that Satan is still the ruler of, the prince of the power of the air. And so we have to endure. And fasting is a unique opportunity because we're told that when we hunger and thirst, we're supposed to seek after righteousness. Now we're hungering and we're thirsting, and we're going to be seeking after righteousness when we keep the next holy day, because we'll be hearing lots of messages about the plan of God again. So brethren, this day will be fulfilled. And when Satan is bound, mankind will be free. Free from the captivity that has led him to the destruction of this world. But this world will not be destroyed. It will not end in destruction. Rather, it will end in the kingdom of God being established. And all of us will be participating in that wonderful time.